Okay, welcome to the second episode of Sports and More with HTC. I'm T-Bag.
I'm Hilly.
And we've got a guest today, Perk.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
All right, we got
what's
Hilly.
Up, man?
We got Hilly with the 3-point rundown.
Oh yeah, we got some good topics today. I know a topic we're going to talk about too. We kind of talked about last episode, whatever you want to call it. But I'm going to kind of hit on it again. But today we're going to talk about the AAU and talk about the insight into it. Talk about just IU athletics overall. And definitely talk about the not so much talked about NIT that's going to go down on the 30th, the final. So that'll be the three things we hit on.
All right. Before we dive into those three, tell these people where they can contact us. We have, since last episode, started a Facebook page, started a Twitter, started a SoundCloud. We're in the works of trying to get into iTunes. So you can find us on Facebook, Sports and More, with HTC. On Twitter, it's just Sports More, WHTC. And look us up, leave us some comments, let us know what you think, give us some feedback, positive, negative. We really don't care, but we just want to get the word out there, letting the people know that, hey, we're here just having a good time, and we will take any callers and any feedback to direct our shows. So diving right into our first topic with the AAU basketball scene, Perk, do you have anything you want to ask, talk about, anything you want to add to that topic for us?
First off, time out. He's coming to us from where? Where are you coming to us from?
I'm coming to you straight up from sunny Tampa, Florida, where I've been sitting poolside the last 2 days.
Yeah, what's the weather like down there?
It's been about 88 average, I think.
Yeah, it was real close to that today, about 62.
Not too bad. Went out on a kayak this morning and saw some manatee. Thought they were going to flip my kayak over, but you know, it's all good.
Hey, you know, my dad's been in a situation like that, except for his were rocks that flipped his kayak over.
I tell you what, they kind of look like rocks if you don't know what they are. I can see them.
It's
they
say easy.
They're bigger than my kayak, so...
That's not hard to do in some of those kayaks. Those things are tiny. But so coming to us live from Florida, Tampa, you're probably sitting on a beach, beer in the hand.
You know it.
Yeah. So there's cheers all the way from Indiana to Florida.
Hey, we do it right.
So let's dive into this first topic. to kind of preface this topic, I am an AAU basketball coach. We'll leave the name of the team out for confidentiality purposes, just so I don't lose any sponsorships.
Yeah.
it's my second year coaching, so I've got a little bit of insight on this topic. So I'll bring to the table what I can. So just diving into that, a lot of people may not know what the AAU circuit. What it does, what it brings. There are three different levels to the AAU circuit. There's kind of like your anybody can join and create a team. You just go and you play other teams on the weekend. That's kind of like the bottom tier. then you got your upper tier where you're competing for AAU nationals, where you're going to these different events that are live NCAA events. And those two levels are sponsored by, or not sponsored by, but they're ran through the AAU circuit. And that's kind of where AAU basketball got its start. And then there's the third tier, which is the shoe companies, that you have your Nike basketball league. You have your Adidas, they call theirs the Gauntlet. And then you have the Under Armour circuit. With just recently And One is trying to break into that third tier, which is where your Romeo Langfords play, your Zion Williams, those types of quality players that are kind of your one and dones or at least go and make a big splash in the NCAA. So those are like the kind of levels, and everything kind of gets roped into being called AAU. However, the big time basketball, like your Nike, your Adidas, and your Under Armour, those things aren't even affiliated with AAU. They have nothing to do with AAU. So it's kind of funny because people call it AAU basketball when really it's not even associated with them. It's like saying, you know, you're going to get a Kleenex, but it may not be a Kleenex brand kind of thing. So it's kind of branded it that way. some people look at it as a negative, the way the shoe companies come in. The shoe companies are kind of dominating the game because they want the kids to go on to college and NBA wearing their shoes, obviously.
Now, where do you sit in those tiers?
We just... Sorry, I was in the middle of a drink. I talked a lot. I thought I had a minute. We sit at the third tier at the... So within the third tier, there's a couple of different divisions. We're in the silver division in the third tier. So we're in the silver division of the...
So you have three different tiers, but you also have basically tiers inside of those three
right.
tiers.
So the right. Adidas circuit does two different sections within their league. So they're kind of like conferences, if you would. So the silver bracket is obviously going to be a little bit less competitive than the gold bracket. So that's the only one I'm familiar with. I'm not familiar with how Nike and Under Armour do it, but I would assume that it's somewhere similar to where they have like a bottom or, you know, like a kind of like a lower level and then the superior elite level competition.
Yeah. So with those levels, where would you say the college coaches are mostly going to? Or the first tier, are they pretty much... college coaches non-existent there?
Well, you may have like your NAIAs may show up, a couple community colleges, more that level show up to those things. Now, if you go to a tournament, you know, like this weekend, for example, this weekend is not a live weekend, so the college coaches can't get out to it. The NCAA college coaches can't get out to it. So, are you going to see an Archie Miller at those tournaments? Absolutely not. Those types of tournaments are going to be, you know, your lower NAIA kind of coaches. And they're not going to go to just any tournament. They're going to wait until, like, these things build up and they have a, like, the championship bracket. And then that's where you start to see your coaches.
So would you say that the college recruiting, has it shifted more from, you know, you used to have college coaches going into high school gymnasiums and sitting down and watching games. Would you say that's shifted more away from that and more strictly to, like, an AAU circuit?
It depends. Because
coaches that are going to these high school games got kids.
So, as a assistant for a high school team, I've seen some lower-level colleges show up to some big games. If you go to big games where you know that you've heard of a couple different kids that are in the area, you can kind of knock out some couple teams all in one trip. For example, here in Louisville, they have the King of the Bluegrass. That's a big tournament where they invite some of the top teams in the area. Now, you may see a college coach show up to something like that. Now, are they showing up to your third game of the high school season to come check you out? No. They're going to wait and come, you know, to some of the more significant tournaments that your high school team's hosting or going to. So they do still go. More so, they would probably send an assistant to do the first checking. But if you wanted a recruit bad enough, you're going to go, you know, see him no matter where he's playing.
So you're talking about these tiers. How many kids does one tournament have in it, say, for instance?
Oh, man. It depends on where you go. We went to a venue down in Atlanta. Brand new multi-million dollar venue. There were like 18 courts. So you're looking at 10 kids on a team, 18 courts, 36 teams. I mean, that's a lot of kids in one area.
Did I get my calculator out for that one?
Damn. that's close to 4,000 kids playing at one time. So a college coach could walk in, see where the biggest crowd is, you know, because your biggest crowds are going to be your superstars. Walk in, go to a game, catch 10 minutes, walk across to the next court, catch another game, 5 minutes. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable how easily it is for these coaches to access multiple games. So, to me, it just makes more sense. If I were a college coach, why would you want to travel halfway across the state to go sit and watch one game when you can go to a location like Atlanta and you've got this big venue, and you're catching all of these kids?
Yeah, I'm with you there.
But here's the other thing. Let's throw this out there. With Archie Miller, you know, he talks about wanting to go inside out. I feel like he's almost committed himself to doing what we just talked about as far as going to these high school games, going to traveling the state, because – you know, as well as I do, not every kid that has a basketball in his hand is going to be able to go play AAU.
Right.
So you're going to have to go to these schools, and you're going to find a diamond in the rough.
Well, I think
that's... You're going to find that kid, they just can't...
You're going to find a Colin Hartman.
There you go.
Right.
You know, I mean...
And that's where...
That's one thing that he's going to be doing is getting in his car or going around the state finding these kids.
But see, I think that's where your relationships with the high school coaches come into play. And I mean, Archie's already come out and said he's going to have an open door policy for high school basketball coaches in the state of Indiana to help develop those relationships to where you call up, you check the stat line on the website and you start seeing this kid dropping double doubles every night. You call him up, you call the coach up and you say, "Hey coach, give me a game that I should come check out." And that way you're not just rolling the dice, roll up into the into the gym and the kid's sitting out because he rolled his ankle the night before.
Yeah, but I think that's kind of what, I could be wrong, but kind of what Dane Fife's role is under Izzo, isn't it?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard a whole lot about Dane Fife until his name started getting brought up for the coaching
I didn't even know it was at Michigan State until all that happened.
Yeah. You know, that's another thing, too. You're talking about all these games going on, all these kids in different, you know, different brackets or tournaments, whatever you're talking about, in that aspect. But, I mean, you would think, let's say you take a kid that's maybe a 7 or 8, and you put him in AAU for 4 years, you know, saying that he wants to focus, like Perk was saying, there may be kids that, you know, they want to play baseball too in high school. Or they want to, you know, they want to do other stuff and maybe not make these tournaments. But if they could make them, I mean, they've got to develop a player. Think, you know.
Right.
That's an interesting point you just brought up because, you know, back, I don't know how long it's been. I've been out of school for a while now. But when I'm in school, most of your athletes are playing 2 to 3 sports. Whether it be football, basketball, baseball. Now it seems like you've got these kids that are focused more on one sport. It used to be, you know, college, from what I always heard was, you know, these colleges, they want multi-sport athletes. But now it's almost like you have to focus on that one sport. And like Adam really said, if you're going to play those other sports, well, you don't have time to go do an AAU thing. So how's that coach going to come find you? He's going to have to go to your high school game, or he's going to have to talk to your high school coach.
And
that's where that relationship comes in.
Exactly. That's exactly right. I had a kid who played for me last year. Great kid. Played the 4, but was even better at football. He's being looked at by colleges for football. I never got a contact, you know, hey, I want to – a little bit more information on this kid in basketball. but he's already getting unofficial visits for football. And his dad calls me and says, listen, I could take this money and send him to football camps this summer, or I could let him play AAU basketball. He's like, what's your decision? What would you do? And I was like, well, I hate to lose him for my team, but, I mean, if the kid's getting already getting looked at, I would advise you to take that money and go focus on that one sport.
That's ultimately up to the kid, too, though. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, and that, you know, you're talking about all these tournaments. Somebody went down to Atlanta, and we're talking about these coaches. There's got to be a lot of players that, you know, fall through the cracks and don't get seen or don't get their time. You know, let's say you pull down an AAU team with Romeo or, you know, some top recruit like that. How much playing time are you actually going to get? You know, and if you fall through the crack on that, I mean, there's a lot of tournaments out there. If you're going to Atlanta, you know, there's a lot of opportunity to get missed or not looked at.
Yeah. Another thing you got to think about, though, at these tournaments, these kids are playing sometimes 3-4 games a day. So are they going to, if Romeo's team's out there blowing out a team by 50, are they going to keep him out there and chance him getting hurt? Or are they going to circulate in some other kids and kind of get him some exposure? So if I'm a kid out there and I'm not a superstar, but I can make it on Romeo's team, oh, shoot, yeah, I'm going there. Because when we start winning big or Romeo needs a little breather, I'm going to get in there and those coaches are already there. And, you know, they may see me.
Yeah, that's a good point.
It's not all about the PT, it's about the exposure.
Yeah, and it's about what you do whenever you are on the court. You know what I mean? When you get to the level of AAU basketball, you don't have to deal with the problems of the negative body language, the bad attitude, the coach is taking me out, I'm going to go pout. I mean, these kids are dedicated. You know, they're great kids, and they buy into your system real easily, and they're very easily coached because they're the cream of the crop.
Yeah, and you know, you talk about system, and you talk about buying in. How much of that offense that's ran in the AAU is actually offense? How much of it is high flying, like Kentucky style, get out as fast as you can go, and first one to 100 wins type deal?
Well, I'll tell you what. Last year we ran a structured offense, and a lot of the teams that we beat didn't know how to handle a structured offense. So my goal was, okay, all they want to do is run and gun. They want to play park basketball. So I slow them down with a press, make them set up a play and run a play. 9 times out of 10, they don't know how to run plays. And so our defense locks them up, and then we get turnovers, go down for buckets, and then on the opposite side of that, when you're running a set offense, they don't know how to defend it. You can easily exploit their weaknesses on defense, and then that's how I won a majority of my games.
Yep. Yeah, that makes
play
sense.
Basketball.
What's that, Perk? What'd you say, Perk?
I said playing basketball is what that's called.
Right.
Driving me crazy nowadays. It seems like the college game, even the college game, I mean, of course the pro game, it's a pick-and-roll offense, if you want to call it that, or just a bunch of one-on-one. But unfortunately, I feel like it's trickling down to that college game to where it's kind of, it's just, hey, I got the ball, set a screen, let me see what I can do. And
ISO.
Standing and nothing happening. There's no movement. There's, you know, you still have the teams that do. Don't get me wrong, but
those are the teams that last.
For example, this past season,
oh my God,
I got so irritated just watching players stand and watch and see what the guy at the ball was going to do. There was nothing to it.
Yeah. Or one thing that really made me mad was offensive rebound, outlet, James Blackman dribbled down, pull up, 3-point, in transition. How many times did we see that? Brick, nobody down there to rebound. There they go, bucket.
Yeah, that's because Bryant was still laying on the ground thinking he got fouled.
No, he was asking the ref, why didn't you call that?
Yeah, you know, you got.
And then you got half the guys on the bench shaking their heads saying, "Get up, you lazy ass."
Hey, I hate to jump off topic, but did you all see LeBron James's dramatic flop?
I heard about it. I haven't seen it.
Oh my. Perk, if you go back and watch this, dude barely hits him with his elbow, and he falls down like he just got sniped out of this by the worst. Oh man, it's the worst flop in the history.
He's got an Academy Award coming.
No, I don't. It's like Godzilla lip sync. You know, like that bad. It's horrible.
I'll have to check that out.
That was hilarious. No, you gotta think too. Back to this topic here. Looking, and you know better than I do, being a coach. But if you see a kid on an AAU tournament that maybe has 7 points or 8 points, and not like 28 or 32 or 15, but the kid that has 7 or 8 is feeding everybody else. Maybe he's got like 12 assists. Maybe he's got something crazy. 15, 20 assists. I mean, who knows? You've got to think that, not that you don't want, you know, somebody that can score on your team, but you got to have some people that, you know, can feed those people and run an offense and kind of be in charge with the ball, too, I think.
Well, one of the guys that I got the most attention out of last year was not my leading scorer. He was not my leading assist. He wasn't my leading rebounder. He was my hard-nosed defense guy who was willing to give up his body for a charge and went in there and got the ball, stopped the man on defense when it was crucial. I would have coaches come up to me and say, "What's that kid's name? Where does he play?" And they write it down, and they're going to go and check him out during the school year.
Yeah, I mean, that goes back to, like we said, the Will Sheehy's, and which I didn't know this until the other day, but I guess he's playing in Canada. They just said a thing where, I don't know if he separated his elbow or fractured his elbow or whatever he done, but I guess he's out the rest of the season, but I didn't know he was playing out there. But,
A lot of those guys are playing out of the country, overseas, that it's hard to keep up with all of them, but I know I ran into Christian Watford at the IU Louisville game, and you know we were shooting this shit and talking. No, I'm kidding, but I did get a picture taken with him.
Yeah, well, hey, we did witness a picture. About cut his head off in the picture.
Hey, it's hard to do, man. He's a tall boy. But I think he's playing somewhere overseas. We didn't get into that. It was just, hey, what kind of beer you want? You know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I know what you're saying. I mean, yeah, you want a Romeo and you want, you know, the Wilkes that Alfred got, and you want those players too. But man, you gotta have the players. Remember AJ Guyton wasn't nowhere big enough to play the position he played. But wasn't it? I could be wrong here on my dates, but wasn't it Boozer he shut down when they beat Duke? Was that Guyton or was that Moye? I think it was Moye.
Moye had the block.
Maybe it was Moye. Yeah, I can't. Either way, he still wasn't big enough, you know what I mean, to play the position he was playing and still shut Boozer down and all this and that. But, I mean, that goes back to, you got to think, them coaches have got to be looking at the hard-nosed kids harder, if not, you know, than what they are the flashy type of run and gun, kind of out here for myself type of deal, you know, type players,
well,
I would think.
If you think about it, if you're building a team and you're going to build a program, unless you're Calipari or, you know, Bill Self or Coach K, you're not going to get five-star McDonald's All-Americans to come to your school every
year. Krzyzewski thinks different.
So, yeah, you want to get one of those guys that's, you know, your all-star, and then surround him with just players.
I was just getting ready to say, you've got to recruit a team. You can't recruit a bunch of all-stars. You've got to have that hard-nosed defensive guy. You've got to have that guy that's going to shut down the best player on the other team. You've got to have that guy that all he wants to do is dish out the rock and get assists every day. You've got to have the guy that's going to go set screens. I tell you what, the Purdue game this year for IU, when we played at Purdue. Tim Priller went in, and if you watch that kid, all he did was set screens. And he actually had a decent game.
Yeah.
He was a role player. We don't, IU did not have a role player this year. They all thought they were going to be the man, and that's how, I feel like that's how Crean recruited, was they were all the man. You can't have 10 guys on your team that are thinking, I'm the dude, I'm the guy that's going to do everything. You've got to have that stud that can take over the game. You've got to have the guy that's a lockdown defender. You've got to have the guy that can handle the rock.
Exactly.
That's where you recruit a team. You don't recruit a bunch of studs out there, because I feel like it's not going to work. And like you said, unless it's a Calipari where somehow or another he gets them all to play together. And
cry in the locker room.
Right. But at the same time, you know, that team, they're fun to watch. They play defense. I feel like they play together. They pass the ball great. They're unselfish. And he has them bought into a system, and it's working.
I tell you
what,
though.
You're not watching them this weekend. That's the thing. I mean, how many? No. You laugh about that, but
no, yeah.
They're one and done. I mean, how far are you going to make it every year with a one and done? Just think if they were seniors and they stayed all 4 years, it'd be dangerous.
Well, look at the gambles he's made. Sometimes you go to the final, the championship game, and get beat. Sometimes you go to the first round NIT and get beat. So
I mean, they're gonna obviously be the majority of the teams, but they ran into a team that they were veterans. I mean, you know, they started, what, two or three juniors? And, you know, they had some – UNC has leadership. They have guys that have been there before. They've got that veteran, those guys that just know how to get it done, whereas Kentucky doesn't. You know, it's a bunch of freshmen in there. Yes, they're great. They've got talent. But at the same time, there comes a point where you've got to have that experience too.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's going back to the Priller thing that you were talking about. Archie Miller said it today. He got interviewed by everybody. I mean, you kind of hear one interview, you hear them all, but he kind of spoke on this, what you're talking about there, Perk, about the Tim Priller situation. What we did not see this year, he didn't come out and say this, but my interpretation of this was, you've seen a bunch of kids playing at Indiana. You didn't see a bunch of kids playing for Indiana. And when Priller got on the floor, he knew his job. He knew he wasn't going to score. He knew he was out there to set screens, and he done it. And he was playing for the school.
Hell, the kid from UNC, the white kid. I mean, he was white, but his last name was White. When he got
you
in
mean
there,
Mays?
You mean just the
no,
dude
no, no.
that hit the last second shot?
No.
Oh.
No, his last name was White. He came in when the point guard rolled his ankle and went to the back.
Oh, for like 2 seconds.
Yeah, but did you see when he was in? He's like, he's 6 foot tall, 110, wet, and he was in there setting screens.
Yeah.
That's all he did.
Yeah.
He handled the ball up top a little bit, and then he went to set screens. He knew his role.
Yeah. That's why it's so easy. You talk about Calipari and Roy Williams. That's why it's easy to buy into that system, because you're playing for Kentucky. You're playing for North Carolina. You know, you're not playing at the school. Like, I think IU had kids this year that just didn't care if they put a uniform on, you know, what it said on it, or what, you know, they were kind of out there for them, and that was it.
Amen.
Well, we'll kind of transition that into our second topic. We spent 30 minutes talking about AAU basketball.
That's a good one.
But we'll transition right into the second topic, IU athletics. Big news, Morgan announces he's staying.
Coming back, yep.
I tell you what, he turned it on at the end of the season. I felt like he was getting in his groove.
I liked him. I liked it. He was rebounding the ball. He was scoring. He was filling his role, kind of what we were talking about. He wasn't going to be the dominant shooter. He went in there and busted it, got some rebounds, putbacks, played some defense there.
Which is a rarity at IU.
Exactly. I mean, but if you're the only dude out there playing defense, it doesn't help.
Yep. That's exactly right.
Well, and it's deflating, too.
Right,
you're busting your butt on D, and if you got four other guys that aren't helping you, you're thinking, what the hell am I doing?
Well, and another thing is deflating is you get a rebound, you outlet to James Blackman, he dribbles down, shoots a three, misses, and then they're coming back at you, and you got to play defense again, which I already brought that up, so.
You know how you fix that?
A new coach?
Don't throw him the damn ball.
Well, there's that, too.
Yeah, that's exactly right. But you know what? We could sit and we could, you know, we could talk about IU basketball all night long.
Yeah.
The thing I have a problem with is I don't know how many times, of course it's my own fault, you get on the message boards and you get on and you read what everybody's saying and what they're doing. And I bet I've read 10 or 15 times, oh, you need to fire Fred Glass. You need to, you know, he doesn't know what he's doing. He doesn't know this and that. You just need to, these people need to step back and take a look at IU athletics at a whole and see kind of what it's doing and where it's going. And I think they're going to realize that IU's not as bad off as what people think. You know, you got the baseball team. I pulled some numbers up here. They're 3-0 in the conference right now. Now, I understand there's a lot of season left. It just started. They're 14-8. They've won their last five games, and by big, too. I mean, it's, you know, the softball team's over 500. The women's basketball team, I mean, they were in the NIT, but this was the most wins and most points ever put up by a women's basketball team at Indiana University this year.
Not bad.
And the soccer team's always solid. I feel like they usually have a pretty solid baseball team for the majority of the season. So, yeah.
They're one of the top swimming and diving schools as well.
Maybe we can get Amber right on to talk about that.
Right.
I didn't know that because I heard
so. Didn't they just produce a gold medal winner?
Lily King?
So, yeah. The whole fire Fred Glass thing. I can't jump on that.
No, he can't get out there and play defense. He can't get out there and work hard in practice. All he can do is hire a guy that's going to make the kids do that.
Yeah. So, as I'm with you, Hilly, I don't think that's the route people need to be going, but you know what? On those forums, they're blaming you and me for losing games.
Oh, yeah. Trump got elected. That was Tom Crean's fault.
Right.
Yeah. So
Hey, and then on top of that, Hillary lost, and that's also Tom Crean's fault.
Yeah. Look at the football. They made a big coaching move. You know, they fired their head coach, and they hired the assistant there, whatever he was, offensive coordinator or whatever. But, I mean, this speaks volume here, because we're going through it with the basketball team right now. Every recruit that committed to the original coach has kept their commitment and has wanted to come. And he has landed, like, two outstanding recruits. I forget where they were from. I think one was from Mississippi or something. But, I mean, the football team's not even going to skip a beat. You know, and they've been to a bowl game the past 2 years. And how many times this year have they been, like, 3 points away? Or they've been, you know, Lego, at the end of the game, Lego will throw an interception when they're down by two or, you know. I mean,
they were in a lot of games this year.
Wasn't the Ohio State game, like, down to the wire?
And that was on the road, right?
Yeah, at Ohio State.
Yep. Hey, which is great. This year kicks off, and unless they've changed it, the first game of the season, which is at home, maybe the first home game, but either way, it's supposed to be against Ohio State, if I read that right. I could be wrong. I may need to fact check that. But I
you didn't look at stat up last Saturday, did you?
No, I wasn't. You know, okay, a little tidbit of how this went down. Perk, you weren't on board last Saturday, but
nobody was on board Saturday.
So he called me up.
No, you FaceTimed me. Let's get our facts straight.
I FaceTimed you. Okay, either way, we ended up. I was down in my basement watching basketball and doing something in my little gun room here. And either way, long story short, we tried to do one of these little podcast things, and it did not work out. So I come upstairs about 2 in the morning, and the next day when I come down the basement, there's beer cans everywhere, And there's tools strung out everywhere across my workbench. I'm like, all I did was turn the light off and went right back upstairs.
The whole time we were doing the podcast, he was sitting there cleaning tools.
Hey, back on that topic, I might have someone that has some insight for our IU swimming and diving here. Talking about IU athletics.
While you talk her into that, Hilly, you are correct. August 31st, Ohio State at Bloomington. First game.
Yep. That's what I thought, because we were going to look into season tickets and see about doing all that route, but it's not worth that. But definitely, I don't know what your guys' schedule is like, but we went up there last year for the Nebraska game, which we lost in the fourth quarter. But got to go up there and got to be up there like 8:30, 9 o'clock in the morning, got to tailgate all day long until the game, because, man, it is a blast.
Yeah, we went to the Maryland game. Same thing. But let's bring in swimming and diving expert.
Oh, our special guest. All right, special guest.
We've got our guest here with some input into the swimming and diving team.
What handle do you want to go by there, swimming and diving expert?
Oh, my God.
Okay, we have Oh, My God coming in with
just
the...
Call her OMG.
Hey,
tell her not to judge.
SoundCloud.
Well, my cousin Brad that plays baseball down here was out there. Like, what are you talking about? Like, not talking about basketball.
Oh, we can talk about baseball. You got all kinds of experts down there.
Hang on a minute.
Okay, go ahead. That was clearly in the microphone.
Oh, wait, you have this thing on? How does the podcast work? Can I be, like, a guest and ask that? Like, how
yeah.
does the podcast
It takes a lot.
You're allowed one question, so that was it.
So Amber, let me walk you through what this looks like.
Okay.
Hilly and I are FaceTiming on an iPad.
Okay.
Josh is on speakerphone on my iPhone.
Okay.
And I'm recording it on my laptop. So.
That's a lot of eyes.
Yeah.
And then where do you post it? That's two questions, sorry.
SoundCloud. And soon to be iTunes if they'd ever get off their ass.
Hopefully.
They may reject us. I don't know. We're still waiting. <Yeah. laughs> But that's
and
the
what
process.
What are you all called? What is it called?
Sports and More with HTC.
Oh, I like it. Okay.
Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
You're on Facebook and Twitter? I'll tell the fam out there. Mom had her phone out, and Kelly, they do the Twitter.
Facebook, Twitter, SoundCloud, Stitcher, soon to be iTunes.
iTunes, yep. Well, you can say this is getting pretty serious.
Yeah, we've got 14 followers, so, I mean...
It seems like it.
It's getting aluminum.
I'm glad we're on the cutting edge of what you're doing.
I think the swimming topic might put us over 15 followers, though.
Well, if her family gets the phone out, I mean, shoot.
They're all kinds of experts on sports. I don't even know what all, but yeah, you name it, they are.
If we get the 20 followers, I'm going to have to hire an agent. A PR person or something.
Well, that dude from that contacted McAfee, he had 24 followers. He said, if you have 24 followers, you don't need a PR guy.
I think OMG's checking out. We lost our OMG swimmer, diver expert. She's got to do some research.
Okay. Well, we can circle back around to the IU athletics.
Real quick, IU athletics, while we're talking about this. Have you heard that Archie Miller's top recruit from Dayton, McKinley Wright, is debating on whether to come to IU now?
Yep, he wants to follow Archie, is what I read.
Is that the dude from the other country you were talking about that one time?
No, he's the Mr. Basketball in Minnesota.
Okay.
Minnesota. He is bad to the bone. If you watch some of his videos, that kid is tough.
Yeah, but the only problem is he's a point guard, but he's only 6 foot 180.
How big was Yogi?
Hey, smaller than that. Hey, if you're quick.
He was bigger. He was over 6 foot. He was like 6'2". I'd say maybe plus on, Steelers, I'm sure.
Maybe on the Dallas Mavericks roster, but I don't know.
You gotta shave an inch or two on those things, man. Here.
I watched a video on him today, though. He did look pretty solid.
His bio page says for the Dallas Mavericks, 6 foot even. Doesn't
really?
Give a weight.
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I know exactly what kid you're talking about. Archie talked about him on whatever show it was. I've listened to him on Mike and Mike and listened to him on the Dan Docton show. They're all starting to run together now. But he said something about his so-and-so, whatever this kid's name is, Ray's name. But if he said, if so-and-so reached out to you and wanted to come to Indiana, and he said yes, but I have told him he needs to go to Dayton. He should go to Dayton because he feels that, you know, he kind of recruited him to Dayton and that wouldn't be fair. But then, you know, on the other terms there, he was talking about his coach and how it may be midsummer before he gets his coaching along and how he didn't want to bring these coaches either. But then he talked about maybe bringing his number two coach or whatever it was. So it's going to be interesting how it plays out. I mean, it's all going to be, you know, it's going to go into midsummer. There's no doubt about it. Maybe later, but it's going to be fun watching it unfold.
Does Blackwood stay or go?
Hopefully go.
I think he weighs his options, but I don't think he goes.
Well,
I think the only one that might go is OG.
Yeah, I think he's gone.
Do you think he goes after an injury like that?
I do, because they still have got him going like a top 15 pick.
Yeah, anywhere from 15 to 18 is what, you know, you gotta, you know, interpret that a little bit, but yeah.
I guess it's just wishful thinking, but I don't...
I'd love to see him go.
You would love to see him go?
Yeah.
OG?
Blackman.
Oh, Blackman. Oh, good God, yeah.
I don't think Blackman goes anywhere. I don't think he. I think
he did tweet out the eyes emoji. Maybe that means looking for a new school.
Yeah, so did Bryant though after the press conference. If you look at that.
Well, yeah. I wouldn't be too upset if he left either.
Yeah, that's what I mean. You know, you won't try to go to the NBA. Dude, have at it. But it's just like Troy Williams.
He's not ready.
Hey, Blackman's got a brother who I think is a lot better than he is. And he's like...
Does he play defense?
Oh, well, I don't know about that. He plays for Team Teague in AAU. I'm not sure how old he is or whatever. But, I mean, he couldn't be any worse.
All right, you want the rundown on this McKinley Wright, McKinley Wright, that's his last name. He's Minnesota Mr. Basketball, and he has committed to Dayton, has signed. It says, as of right now, Miller put out a statement that he has not asked for a release, but it says what he's wanting to do is see if Dayton hires the assistant coach, the Tom Ostrom, or Tom, how do you pronounce that? But Miller does state that I have said multiple times, that's a quote, he has a spot at Indiana if he wants it.
That's what I heard.
Yep, that would be awesome. But I don't know. Take that for what it's worth. It's like Minnesota, obviously. Minnesota's gonna recruit him, but they also put an offer in, so yeah, we'll see. I think it would be tough. Take either school. I mean, Dayton's no slouch, but it would kind of be tough to commit to either school unless you had an emotional attachment like that with a coach because of the, you know, everything being so unsettled, you know, at this time. But
well, a lot of the kids go for the coach. You know, that's where they go to a school.
Well, you don't fall in love with a weight room. You know what I mean? Like, you want that relationship because you're going to be first time out on your own. You want somebody that you can trust.
Yep. Right. But how many kids do you think go to think, man, I can play maybe 1 year and go to the NBA?
Oh, I guarantee you Blackman thought that. I guarantee it.
Yeah, I don't doubt that at all.
I wish he would have kept thinking that.
Well, he got out there and realized that I'm not as good as everybody thought I should have been. So,
yeah, that's... speaking of one and done, Hill, you got a Kentucky thing going?
Not a Kentucky thing, but I do have a potential one and done that we talked about last week. I don't know if you're familiar with the what they call him, the Greek Freak, isn't that right? From Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Bucks. He has a little brother that's like 6'10". I forget what he weighs. I forget his complete stats. But he's averaging almost like 9 rebounds a game as a freshman. They're registering him for academic purposes. And then they, so it would make him eligible to come this year if he wanted to follow Miller too. So that may be something to look at too. But I didn't know if you knew that. I'm trying to look for that paper. I forget all his stats, but
threw away last week's notes.
Yeah, I think so. But yeah, I think
his name is Antetokounmpo.
Yeah,
I'm pretty
last week.
Pretty sure that's perfectly true. Kostas Antetokounmpo, the younger brother of Milwaukee Bucks.
Can you say that one more time?
Antetokounmpo.
I bet I could have said it Saturday night.
Yeah, it said that he's a 6'10" dynamic. He's now cleared to practice with the Flyers. He's got a game similar to his brother's. Let's see, he graduated from the Dominican High School in Wisconsin, where he went to be close to his brother in nearby Milwaukee. Won his fifth straight state title last season. Kostas turned himself into a top 100 prospect in the process.
How do you win 5 straight titles?
The school, not him.
Oh. Andy,
Dominican won 5th straight.
He's that good.
Well, you could be like the kid from Bowling Green, Kentucky and play as an 8th grader. He won a state title.
Yeah.
Is that even legal?
Yeah. Yeah, you can bring him up to play varsity as long as they are in your region or district or whatever it is.
Huh.
Yeah, kid scored like 20 points in state. 8th grader.
Gosh.
Crazy, yeah. Not too bad. Well, does that move us to our third topic, or we got
Let's
some...
do it.
All right, third topic was... NIT, there we go. Forgot. NIT, what a... We got TCU versus Georgia Tech. I know Georgia Tech's the number 6 seed. They've beat IU, Belmont, Ole Miss, CSU, Bakersfield. They have their best player is Ben Lammers, a senior who's averaging 14.4 points, 9.3 rebounds, 2.1 assists, and 3.3 blocks per game. I know TCU, they have a huge 7'6", dude?
I don't know. I looked that up. I couldn't find him. Unless he...
or was he... Know, he's from Florida, isn't he? Perk, who did I text you last night about? Florida. UCF. Oh, no, my bad. So he plays for UCF. They got beat.
Yeah. I was going to say, I looked up TCU, and I didn't see him anywhere. I think their biggest guy was like 6'11".
Yeah.
Was a freshman,
yeah,
he's averaging like 2.5 points a game or something.
Yeah, that big dude I texted y'all about last night, that 7'6" dude, he was from Florida. I do remember that. So, yeah.
False news.
There
false.
You go.
That's
why,
name.
We have fact checkers.
I'll tell you a real name right here, and you can put it down in ink. I may pronounce it wrong, but that Josh Okogie. Is that right? Okogie? Anyway, 6'4". Freshman, Georgia Tech, averaging 16.2 points a game. That right there alone is why Georgia Tech's going to win it all. Look at their games, okay? Not counting the NIT. Okay, I don't know if you dug up much dirt on them. That's what I told you when Indiana played them. Okay, Georgia Tech beat Notre Dame in the regular season 62-60. They beat Florida State 78 to 56. Now, Florida State was a number 6 at the time they got beat.
But who made the tournament, right? Am I correct on that?
Notre Dame was a number 14 when they beat them. And this is the one that sticks out the most, and the score does too. Georgia Tech beat North Carolina 75-63 during the season. I mean, they're no slouch, man. I don't understand why they're not were in the dance, but I mean, who knows?
Well, not to discredit that, but TCU, they beat Kansas in the quarterfinals of the Big 12.
And they beat Iowa.
Yeah,
they beat Iowa.
Yeah, but so did IU.
What? No. Not in the NIT. We didn't beat nothing but ourselves.
We beat Kansas.
Yeah, they beat Peter Jock in Iowa too. But that went into overtime, beat them by 2. But still, I mean, you look at Kansas and Iowa. I must have missed the Kansas thing, but that I had the Iowa thing down. But that, I mean, that's their only good win. That's their only. Georgia Tech, they've been grinding it out all year.
You know,
they must have had some bad losses.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, because even in the NIT, even coming down through, they beat every team by 9 points or more. I mean, it's crazy. And, you know, obviously they beat Indiana by 15. So,
well, both of these teams playing in the NIT championship have pretty well-known, I guess you would say, coaches. We have Josh Pastner, who was the coach of Memphis, and then Jamie Dixon, who's was the coach of Pittsburgh. So it's not like they're two, nobodies.
Yeah, and
they've been winning these games by a healthy margin, too. I mean, you look at their semifinal wins, you got 76-61 and then 68-53. I mean, they pretty much just routed both those teams.
Oh, yeah. Are you talking about Georgia Tech?
And TCU.
Well, TCU had a close game with Iowa, right?
Didn't catch that one.
It went into OT. They won by 2. But that was probably the closest one. 7-point win, 2-point win, 20-point win. So, yeah, that Iowa game was their closest.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I got too many things going on. You got bear with me. I'm trying to get people on the show.
Okay. So. Well, I'm just wondering why I'm staring at your beard.
you got to bear with me here. I could be totally wrong, and I probably am, but I've been talking to Dockich a little bit, and I was tweeting him today. And if we could get him on the show, man, that'd be great. That'd be great,
Only if he's as hammered as he was the last time he was.
yeah, that's exactly right. That's what I'm thinking, so.
Well, okay, staying on topic of this NIT, what do y'all think of these new rules that they're trying out?
It's the NIT. They do it every year.
The foul things are weird. I don't know about that.
Well, the fact that a kid goes to the line and they're like, never mind, you don't get a shoot.
Yeah, they're making it like hockey. They're making it like 3 different periods or whatever.
No, they do 4 periods, 10 minutes of each, and then they reset the fouls. And there's no 1-and-1. So,
that's the thing. I could have followed the rules a little bit more, but, we were kind of a one-and-done type of deal. So, we kind of got in and got out real quick. So, I don't know exactly what went on, but I do remember. But it's all experimenting. I mean, a totally different topic. If you want to talk about rule change, we got to look at the NFL. But yeah, I know what you're saying.
Right. They always try out these rules, but sometimes the adjusted shot clock, sometimes they fall through. They come through. And
remember dodgeball when you used to get out and somebody would catch the ball, the kid that got you out? That's kind of how I see the foul thing. It's just like, all right. It's such and such time in the game. We're going to give you your foul back and see if you can play some more, whatever they had going on. Like I say, I didn't follow it too much, but I wasn't about it.
Just to keep the game going.
Keep it moving.
All right. Well, Park, you got anything to say about the NIT, the rule changes?
No, I was just going to say, what are you guys' brought this up several times. What are your thoughts about the college game having 6 fouls instead of 5 now?
Well, you know, if it's going to be played like the NBA, you might as well let them have that 6th foul. I mean, how much of a game changer is that going to be, though?
That's what I mean. Let me ask you this. What's it going to hurt? You know, what
right.
What kind of negative thing is it going to...
And his thing was, you know, like, if you got some of your stars that get in foul trouble early, they're sitting for pretty much the whole first half. You know, you got a guy that picks up 2 fouls quick, he's got to go to the bench.
But at the same time, you've got to think about, okay, so eventually they're going to get to the mindset, well, I can get 3 fouls in the first half. And it's, you know, so when do you back off of your, you know, of your intensity kind of and quit fouling? So how much of a game changer does it make is kind of my thing. If it doesn't make that big of a deal, I mean, who cares? Let them have 6.
And that's the thing, too. If you give them an extra foul, that's going to have to change your bonus situation, too. I mean, it's going to have to up the bonus because...
Well, it's going to reset in 10 minutes anyway.
Yeah. But you know what I'm saying? If you know, Joe Schmo out there on the court's got 4 extra fouls to give, I mean, you know, it's all going to... But at the same time, if you're a good coach and you got somebody in a do-or-die free throw situation, you're going to bring a sub in anyway to commit a foul and take him right back out on the offensive side. And so, I mean, I don't think it changes a whole bunch.
But I do see your point, Perk. In the first half, if your dude gets the 2nd foul, as a coach, you can pull him over and be like, listen, quit the shit or you're coming out. If you have 5 fouls, your dude gets 2nd foul, you pull him over to the bench and tell him quit your shit, and then you don't see him again until the 2nd half. So,
and if you've got a young guy, a freshman, you're more likely to leave the kid that has experience as a junior to be like, hey, be careful. You know, you got 2 now. Whereas a freshman, you're like, man, can I trust this kid not to foul again?
Well, so you get your first foul. How many coaches pull their first, the guy that gets their first foul over and say, listen, you got to play conservative? Nope. That's a pretty pink flag. Nobody does that. But it's when they get that 2nd one that you're like, oh, man, now we're in foul trouble. But if you give them a little bit of that leeway, maybe it does make a little bit of a difference.
I can't remember what team it was, but it was in the tournament the other day. They said that kid fouled out of like 10 games already this year. Are you kidding me, man? Like, really?
Yeah, he's a slow learner.
You foul out of 5 games, you might want to calm it down a little bit. Nah, I won't. Hell, it's 5 more. I'll just get...
All right, so does that wrap up our 3rd topic, gentlemen?
Wrap it up.
All right, so that brings us into the pick 6 portion of the program.
I'm looking forward to this.
All right, so I've got 6 topics that you guys have not heard about. We're going to run through these. We're going to briefly talk about each one. And at the end of it, each one of you is going to pick which one you think is the fake news.
Is this like Donald Trump fake news?
This is... I'll be honest with you. I got the headline from The Onion. So, this is fake news.
So we can all be fake?
What? Oh, wait. The Onion's not real? So, we got to change the dynamics of this real quick. All right, so the first...
I say we just run with it.
No, I'm just kidding. The first topic, LeVar Ball. We all know LeVar Ball. He's working with TMZ to get a reality TV show. What do you think about that, Haley?
I want to hear the next selection, but I got my next thought. Okay.
No. We're going to go through, talk. Give me your thoughts on it. Once we get through all of them, then you tell me which one you think's the fake one.
I don't think that's far-fetched. I think what the man's doing is genius in a way because everybody's dogging him and bad-mouthing him.
But like you, I don't remember if it was our Saturday episode or the one we published, but you did talk about how he's brought at least some kind of spotlight. Like, who went and watched the UCLA game unless he was out there running his mouth?
Right, and that's the thing. Who knew LeVar Ball, before he starts running his mouth. Nobody. And you know what? When Lonzo gets in the NBA, and he's talking about that shoe deal, why is that so far-fetched? I think LeBron's shoe deal is, what, $2 billion just for LeBron? You know, we talked about that. He's talking about his three boys at whatever it was, $333 million or whatever we decided it was per player. So I don't think it's far-fetched, man. I think he gets his own show, and you know, you'll be watching Keeping Up with the Balls before long.
Keeping Up with the Balls. I like it. I like it. Perk, you got any thoughts on that topic?
I'll leave my balls in there.
All right. Next topic. There will be a Raiders-themed brothel to be opened up in Vegas once the Raiders land in Vegas. What do you think about that, Perk?
Hey, it's Vegas. Whatever happens in Vegas stays in Vegas, right?
Except for herpes. That shit will come back with you.
You can bring that back with you every time.
Oh, man.
Hilly, what do you think about that?
I think that's false. I think the NBA, or the... I'm not supposed to predict yet, am I? I don't think that's true, but... I don't know. You look at Colorado, you know, they legalized marijuana. That doesn't mean NFL players can indulge in it, so I say no way.
Okay. All right, third topic. Odell Beckham once recorded himself racing his teammates to up his rating on Madden. What do you think about that, Hilly?
Yeah. Did you just see that picture of my wife? Check.
I couldn't open it.
Yeah, it opened that, but anyway, what was the question?
Perk, I'll tag you in this.
I'd say that's probably legit, because I'm telling you, those NFL players, they get pissed when their ratings are low on those things. I mean, there's been a lot of them come out and say, hey, why am I only at 94? Why ain't I at 99? I can see that happening.
So, I mean, that to me, that's the ultimate playground move. Like, oh, you think you're faster than me? Watch me, you know, like.
Yeah, I can see it. I can see that happening.
All right, next topic. Oklahoma is going to legalize hunting hogs from a helicopter.
It's not legal already?
Apparently not in Oklahoma.
It is in Texas, I know that. You can in Texas.
You gotta know somebody with a helicopter.
I'll tell you what, man, me and Zach Emmons talk a lot about hunting and going down there, and we talked about that helicopter thing in Texas. And there wasn't like $1,000 an hour. Like, if I paid $1,000 an hour, I better get to drive there and fly the damn helicopter.
We need to invest in a helicopter and move down there.
You right, just rent out rides?
Yeah.
Well, in Oklahoma, if they legalize it. All right, any other thoughts on the fourth topic?
Shoot away.
All right, first of all, I got to preface this one. Have you all seen, and I'm sure you have, the Charles Barkley commercial where he's sitting there with, who's the dude from Snakes
Spike?
Snakes on a Plane, Samuel L. Jackson.
Oh, Samuel L. Jackson.
And he's sitting there and he says, what are you eating? He said, steaks. He said, where are we at? On a plane. So, and he looks at him and says, so we're eating steaks on a plane?
That commercial was terrible.
Okay, so to go with that, Primary Industries tweeted out there was a snake on a plane traveled from Australia to snake-free New Zealand.
Yeah, was it? It wasn't somebody's pet, was it? And they had to put it in a carry-on.
No, apparently it climbed into the baggage claim while they were, or the baggage storage while they were. Loading the luggage, but,
TSA missed their pat down on that.
What's that?
The TSA missed their pat down on
that one. Yeah.
All right, and then that moves us into our sixth and final topic. Everyone's favorite North Korean, Kim Jong-un, the military, well, if you all listen to the Pat McAfee show, you know that he had launched a missile trying to go to the moon. It failed. It blew up on the launch pad. So his military tried to cheer him up, and they did a surprise suicide execution.
Shut up.
So he was upset because his missile didn't make it to the moon. So they held a surprise execution. Any thoughts on that?
Was it the guy that was in charge of the missile?
that would be a smart move.
Wasn't he trying to blow up the moon?
No, I think they were trying to lay down. Do you listen to McAfee's podcast?
I catch it every once in a while.
Man, they are dead on with all these North Korean updates, man. It is hilarious. So a couple weeks ago, he tried to send a missile to China, and it landed in the ocean, like a couple miles away. Then they claim they're going to the moon, and it blew up on them. So
then that's real. The dude that was in charge of that missile, he was toast.
So you think that's who they executed?
It's gotta be, man. If he screwed up twice.
Right. Well, yeah.
You strapped him to a missile and shot him out.
Okay. Hilly, any thoughts on that news topic?
It's hard telling coming out of North Korea. I mean, they was talking about him today still having dial-up internet over there.
Maybe that was the problem.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't think that's true. But I don't know. What's our topics again? Let's run down them.
All right. We'll let our guest go first, pick which one he thinks the fake one. We have LeVar Ball getting his own TV show. The Raiders have a brothel. Odell Beckham racing his teammates to get his Madden rating up. Oklahoma legalizing hunting hogs from helicopters. The snakes on the plane. And the military trying to cheer up Kim Jong-un with a surprise suicide execution.
As much as I hope that it's the North Korea one, I think it's got to be the brothel.
Okay. Okay, so I got Perk down as the brothel. What do you think, Hilly?
I'm going to have to go with the snake on the plane. I'm going to have to.
I hate to inform you both, but you're both wrong.
So now what happens?
The fake story is the North Koreans.
I mean, the real story. Uh-oh. We were picking out the fake story.
Yeah. The one fake.
Damn it.
Come on, Hilly. How many beers you have?
Yeah, I got too many things going. I got a laptop and an iPad that I don't even know how to work.
So let's recap. So to recap, LeVar Ball is trying to get his own show. The Raiders are going to have a Raiders themed brothel. Beckham did do the races.
Is the Raiders, are they the ones that are opening the brothel?
No. Somebody's opening a Raiders themed brothel. So Beckham did race his friends and record them to get his Madden rating up. Oklahoma is looking to legalize hog hunting from helicopters. The snakes on the plane thing was real, and the Kim Jong-un thing is false.
Thank God. That poor missile guy, I would have felt bad for him.
All right, so that leads us into our last segment. Hilly, what you got?
I guess that we're going to try this new thing out this week and kind of see how we go to here, see how it goes here, but... That brings us to our next topic.
We all know what that sound means.
Loser of the week. We're giving our award. And this week, it was unanimous. Loser of the week doesn't just go to one person. It goes to a whole fan base. I don't know if you guys have caught this word. You may not have. But with the Final Four refs who worked the Kentucky game, against Kentucky in the North Carolina game, they have sent John Higgins death threats and also have got, I guess this ref has his own roofing company, have also got on Facebook, Twitter, whatever account he's had, and totally rated his business to be terrible and left horrible reviews and just said some nasty, nasty things. So, you know, here we are trying to say, hey, man, Kentucky, you know, they got this, they got that. You guys are still being the big boohoo nation like we thought, and you guys are the recipients of the loser of the week. What do you guys think about that?
Well, I saw immediately after they lost, there were guys out there burning TVs. Now, I know a few years back they were burning couches. Whether they won or lost, they were burning shit.
Yep.
Now they're burning their TVs. I mean, and going out, death threats to the refs? Come on now. Come on, man.
And you got beat. You got beat by a last-second shot.
It's not like,
How were you not in the game?
Calipari even said that. He's like, you know, they pretty much fouled all of our guys out. We were still in the game. Like, cry me a freaking river. You kidding me? Nobody's out to get you.
Right. And if you're not fouling, then the ref's not going to call it.
Yep, that's exactly right. You know, maybe if they had six fouls, you know, maybe it would have been a different ball game. But maybe that leads into it. But, hey, I got to say, this week, Kentucky...
loser.
You are the loser of the week.
Alright. Twice. Yeah, you got beat by USC. I don't know which one they're gonna take harder. I mean, I saw the guys crying in the locker room, but to be the loser of the week on Sports and More with HTC, that's gotta be up there, right? Like, are we gonna see Fox and Monk crying? They should be honored.
Not everybody gets a
wall. Yeah, loser of the week. I mean, it took. We had to sift through a few stories, but that one kind of stuck out to you.
They're all Kentucky related.
Yep. So real quick, before we get our final thoughts, we got to have Perks calls on the big games this weekend.
Okay. Yeah. Perk, who you got?
Well, as much as I would like to see. This is a tough one because South Carolina and Gonzaga, I feel I want to pull for both of them. But I just think Gonzaga's got too much. I think that they have been so close so many times. I think it's their time to get over that hump, make it to that final game. On the other side of it, I think North Carolina's on a mission. I think that game could get ugly. Oregon, they rubbed me the wrong way. I don't know if you saw, I'm sure you did, saw their last game. Did you see them bickering and fighting and arguing with each other? It turned me off, man. I was like, really? I mean, come on, guys. Get your shit together. Yeah. I think that game could be a rout. So I got North Carolina Gonzaga in the final game. That one's going to be tough. I'm going with the Zags, man. I think it's their year. I really do. But at the same time, you remember the last time that two schools, women's and men's, made it to the Final Four? What? You know what happened?
Yep.
They both won.
Yep.
So we all three have different winners, so that should be interesting for next week.
We got a little wager on that, fellas?
Tell you what.
The UPS man can bring a six-pack of beer to you guys. I don't know.
How about all the sponsors' money goes to the winner?
Sounds good.
Yeah. Right now, we have zero sponsors. All right. So, final thoughts. Perk, you're our guest. We probably won't be a guest for much longer because you'll probably be a regular on the show whenever you can. But you are the guest tonight. Let's go ahead and hear your final thoughts. Do you have any final thoughts for us?
My final thoughts are, I'm in Tampa, Florida, man. I was honored to be with you guys today. It's been a privilege. Known you guys my whole life, I feel like. I'm thrilled to be with you guys. I really appreciate it.
All right. Glad to have you.
Definitely.
All right, Hilly, final thoughts.
I got something a little more serious than what he had there, but here's some seriousness, and we'll get into this on the next episode, but if you can't catch your chicken, don't bring it to Hardee's. Okay?
If you had a helicopter, you might have been able to shoot it.
And if you don't follow Hilly on Snapchat, you probably have no clue what he's talking about. But give us a little backstory, Hilly.
Okay. This is the God's honor. I got two stories, but we'll just get into this one. We're getting ready to wrap this up. But me and the wife had to the store get a few things. Coming around the corner by the Hardee's, and there's a lady with a bag of chicken feed chasing a chicken. And, you know, I'm telling my wife, I'm like, look, you know, she's chasing a chicken. And, you know, she's thinking I'm crazy. She looks over there and kind of gives me that, I'll be damned, she is chasing a chicken type of look.
So, she channeling her inner Rocky?
Yeah. So we start to go in the store, and I'm like, I'm wanting to hurry because I'm wanting to witness her catch this chicken. So we come out of the store, and the lady's nowhere to be found.
What about the chicken?
The chicken just standing in the parking lot, chest all stuck out. So, I'd say it's chicken one and chicken lady zero.
All right, so that's Adam's final thought, and we'll dive into that maybe next week a little bit more. My final thought, if you're going to do an hour and 16-minute podcast and drink 3 beers, you should go to the bathroom first before you start the podcast. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
So, boys, I hate to do it, but we got to end this. Perk, glad to have you. We'll get you in on the next show.
For sure. Let's do it again.
All right, boys. Well, we are signing off, and then until next week, we'll catch you later.